Good to see everybody. Glad you're here. Appreciate you being here with us tonight. I hope you brought your Bible. I want you to turn with us. Whenever we read the scriptures, I want to share this with you. There's a lot of times the scriptures will speak to us, and we like to do the old thing of, well, that's not me. And somebody else. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 if you want to turn there. It's not me, that's somebody else. Well, sometimes we're the one most guilty. I know I am. I want to look at the 9th chapter. And I just want to really focus upon one verse of Scripture in this passage. We'll go to a couple other spots, but I want to really focus on one particular part. There's a section up here, if you read the entire last six or eight verses, there's a part of it that I think it's a couple of verses up, verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I had to think a little bit about the scriptures teach us to run the race that's set before us, which means that's that race ahead of us, not the race running the other direction. And there's another passage that we rely on, the one that talks about after we've done all to stand. You remember that one? Then it says, stand therefore. That tells me that there is going to be times when the only person that you think you can count on is you, and sometimes you fail. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like that I give in when I shouldn't give in? That I should be stronger? That I should not yield? Many of the things that we subject ourselves to is because we're not willing to make that extra step. And when I say we, this is a me. It's a lot easier for me to say, well, let me just let someone else do that. When really and truly, it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. I want to read this verse, and it has a lot of meanings, I want to tell you, but there's one little section I want to focus on, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. May we pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege. Thank you for loving us. God, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, I thank you for whenever we're weak. God, you're our strength that we depend upon. And, oh, God, how this world may be tossing us to and fro. But, God, we know that we can always count upon you to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, I keep under my body and I bring it under subjection. There's some teachings in the Bible, especially when it concerns like officers in the church, that sometimes we're to take care of our own household. And we're to me, that's to look within your own house and how your own house does things. If your own house is in disarray and out of order, number one, the head of the house has certain responsibilities. And those responsibilities will fall under what God teaches. And that is not up to your interpretation, because God's the one that interprets how a home ought to run. And when a home falls under that subjection, when something goes wrong, you don't look at no one else but the head of the household. This particular passage doesn't say, well, the house is in disorder. If you kind of look at it just a little bit, it talks about I keep under my body. I keep under my body. There's a little bit difference when you are trying to put on the robe of righteousness. Now, what is that? When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, Dusty made a statement this morning in Sunday school concerning the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. He made a statement. He made the statement, if you would read that, and if you would kind of read it, the more you read Isaiah chapter 53, the more it will bring you back in line. If we go astray, the more we see what Jesus went through, what he suffered, and what he went through, friend, it'll take our little pet peeves that we have and start making them disappear. Because what Jesus went through, he made it possible through the salvation that he provided for us. He made it the means necessary that the only thing that I'll get to wear up there as we talk about the robes of righteousness, it won't be robes of righteousness that I paid for. It'll be what he paid for. And the clothing that I'll wear is the ones he provides. Big difference, isn't it? When you think about what God has done for old weak us or me, what God has done for me, it brings me into subjection. It makes me want to focus a little bit more on myself than instead of looking at somebody else. It's a whole lot easier to look at somebody else, isn't it? But the truth of it is, God has a robe of righteousness. We'll get to that just shortly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, here's what it says. Walk in the Spirit. Now, why would the Lord tell us to walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk in the Spirit means it's not a normal walk that you're walking. It's not meaning, well, let's just go down the road and that's walking in the Spirit. There's too much emphasis today placed upon an individual thinking they have power, thinking they have power with God, thinking they can say anything they want to say, do anything they want to do. Friend, if you're not in line with the Spirit of God, you best be careful what you say and do. You best honor the Word of God and what it teaches instead of trying to go off freelancing on what you want to do. God has a way for us to walk and a path for us to walk in. And if we will stay away from walking the way we want and walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's still not. We're still not gotten subjection. There's an area. We have to claim victory over some things in life. Now, I want you to listen. When Dusty mentioned this, Isaiah chapter 53, there was things in that particular chapter that talked about without naming Jesus. If you'll remember that, the Jews, they have a problem with Isaiah 53. But when we read it, when we read Isaiah 53, everything that's in that chapter, we can see Jesus in it. We just see him. It's like, man, that we ought to put his name on that. Why was that omitted? Why was not Christ's name right there? It would have been very easy. Friend, I want us to think about what God teaches us faith really is. Faith is that ability to see Christ in that chapter without him being named. To see what the Lord is capable and able to do in Isaiah 53 and in also my heart when I read Isaiah 53. Like I said this morning, John chapter 3:16, don't you know that had my name all over it? Yours too. We must circle ourselves from going out when we need to be coming in. When the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus, When he was headed in that direction, he had everything under control. His mind, his actions, the letters in his head, everything under control. He had everything under control but himself. He was not bringing into subject. He had everything what he wanted to do and nothing of what God wanted him to do. You know, the hardest thing in the world to do is realize what God wants you to do is sometimes different and contrary to what you're trying to do yourself. I go back to the times when I was bucked off of a horse. If you never ride a horse, you know that if you ride, you're going to come off eventually. You really are, especially learning. But when I was bucked off of a horse, fear was the first time you ride. You know you're going to get it. Second time, it's a little bit easier, but you still know you're going to get it. After you ride a little while, you get to be a little bit, it can't throw me. There's no way. And that's when you get it. That when you least expect it, you find the ground coming really fast to you. The truth of it is, when we're walking in the way the Lord wants us to walk, we have to learn to overcome this right here. Because what do? We think we're prepared for everything as a Christian. We're equipped in every area. There's not an area of our life that God, whoops, I forgot about that. The Lord doesn't forget anything about salvation. My salvation is complete. The moment that I got saved, that I'm just like the thief on the cross. The moment I got saved, I could die right then and heaven would be my home. It's not an installment plan. It's not working the best I can do. It's not learning how to pray. It's not learning how to tithe in the church. It's not being a good membership. Friend, what it is when you get saved, God took care of every single detail. But what does he do? What does he do while we're here? There are things that God narrows us. Brings us back. So when we read that walk in the Spirit, that's what Galatians tells us. Turn your Bible, if you don't mind. I'm not coming back to Corinthians. I want to look at the book of Luke, chapter number 9. Luke, chapter number 9. And I want to look just basically on what Jesus said. And I want you to listen carefully to this passage of Scripture. I'm going to start reading verses 21 and read a couple of verses. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man of that thing. All right. So if he told them, don't say anything, just watch why. The Son of Man, verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, of the chief priests, and the scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. Now that's all stuff that we love. And he said to them all, but here's the way he says to them all, if any man, now that brings it right there, down to one. That brings it down to my interpretation, that brings it down to me. If God's going to bring me back in, there must be a way he's going to bring me back in. Verse 23, if any man will come after me. Now, was he talking to the disciples? Yes, he was. Was he talking to people that were seeing him, following him, and knowing they didn't quite grab that understanding, that part that he was going to die and be raised again that third day? They had some questions. They didn't have really some answers right there that they could put their finger on it. But after the fact, I bet they could put their finger on it. After the fact, they realized that he was talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. But listen, if a man will come after me, he must deny himself. My sins was put on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins. My righteousness, according to the Old Testament, is as filthy rags. But what God did was put his righteousness upon me. I didn't have it. I didn't work for it. I didn't merit it. Friend, that grace of God, that unmerited favor of God, when God gave that to me, it was paid for by what he suffered. Sometimes I forget what he suffered. That's the reason reading Isaiah 53 makes so much sense. It makes sense exactly what we heard in Sunday school this morning of how he suffered. It makes sense when folks say, well, I don't know about you. It makes sense to me when I see what Jesus went through and still was willing to save me and you. I get angry at my own self for my conduct. My own conduct. Because I think that, man, I want to do this, I want to do that. Boy, and it just seemed like the more I want to, it just seemed like so many more things just jump right in the way. It seemed like the more you want to do good. Scripture has some things about it. About evil is ever present with us. Evil just likes to jump up and grab a hold of you sometimes. But we're clothed with the righteousness of God. If I could only see spiritually for a second or two what God's put within me, wow. But you know what we fail to see is what God has done for us. We don't bring ourselves and funnel it down to us. We think we want to do what we want to do, act the way we want to act, be the way we want to be. I've been so disappointed in folks whenever they'd talk godly 1 minute and let words come out the next minute. I'd be so disappointed in them. But how many times have I done the same, not the very same thing, but things that have been such a great disappointment, and it's all been on me. You see, sometimes God has to bring us all and focus upon, let a man look at himself. When we said those few little words tonight at the Lord's Supper, let a man examine himself, there's so much truth in that. The truth is we'll get somewhere. We'll be a lot better off if we come to the house of God with one thing in mind, is for us, me, myself, and I, to worship God. Because if we all do that, if we all come to the house of God with that same purpose in mind, that's when we go to meeting with God. But we have 10 different things going on and 10 different things in our mind, and our mind is somewhere else. About the time we get ready to go to church, it's about time to go home. We've squandered, we've wasted the opportunity to meet God face to face. And how many times have I done it? Why is that? Many times, I've thought over scriptures and be sitting there thinking on something. Songs or something else be going on, but my mind is somewhere else because I'm thinking on something else. And some of the things that going through my mind, sometimes it's better not to think about it, not to worry about this scripture. How does this scripture go? What does that do? It's best sometimes to get your mind focused on one simple thing. Just like this verse said, if he come after me, let him deny himself. Deny is the thing that is hardest. I could sit here and talk to you about how I don't like ice cream and all these other things in this world, like sweet stuff that I do love. Do you think I deny myself in that? In fact, sometimes at the house, boy, sure would be good to have a bowl of, and we got some in the refrigerator, but you know what you get hung on? Them Dairy Queen ice cream cones. It takes us 5 whole minutes, maybe a little further, to drive to Dairy. When we was in Tennessee, it was just right down the street. It was really close. Man, it wasn't a heartbeat you could get there. It might cause your heart not to beat, but the truth of it was close. But we'll do that because you know what it's hard to do? Deny. Yet when it comes to the spiritual things of God, you must walk after the Spirit. You must deny yourself to walk after the Spirit. The hardest thing in the world to do is to learn yourself. I can tell you wrongs of people that the politicians, whenever they come on, oh my gosh. I don't know if it's you, but it's me. I say, lie, you lie, you lie. Almost every word that comes out of some of them is a lie, you know. And I'm saying, boy, they ain't but a bunch of liars. What are we? We find ourselves focusing on everything. I'll hurry, but I want you to hear this. I want you to see. Because here's what it says. Let you deny himself and take up. I wish this wasn't in there. When you think about this part right here, when Jesus was going down the Via Della Rosa road, that was the road that he went back to where Calvary was going. The way to the cross was so much that they compelled one Simon of Cyrene to bear the cross. Which is, when I read this right here, there was somebody available right there to help with that cross toward Calvary. And you might say, well, why couldn't the Lord have done it? Oh, the Lord could have done it. But how many times has the Lord wanted us to pick up the cross and bear it, just like we're going to read it, and I hate to read it, to pick up that cross and bear it and show the world. Not how good we are, but to show the world who we follow. Sometimes I get disappointed and how much I bear the cross. How much I show the cross. Watch this. If any man will deny himself and take up his cross, and he put in that word daily. Easy to do it on Sunday, ain't it? But when we live for the Lord, it's every day of the week it gets the job done. You can do more in them 6 days out there in that world talking to folks and trying to get through to them, because sometimes you just can't get through to them. But if we learn to carry that cross daily, if we bear that cross daily, it's a whole lot easier at some time to be able to touch that person when they need it most. And that's the part that sometimes I look at myself and say, do I do enough? Do I say enough? How many times am I the disappointment in me? Whenever you are, if you ever coached ball or ever of any sort, I don't care if it's basketball or whatever, you take a bunch of little ones and you try to show them, say, this is how you hit the ball or this is how you do that, and you show them the best of your ability, and you know what you do when they finally hit the ball or shoot the basket or score the touchdown, whenever you do it, you say, that's how you get it done. Oh, what a good job you did. And they might not hit it 5 foot or done whatever. It might have been just a mediocre task. But what you do is you praise them for how they took what you told them and applied it and make it work. How many times does God bless us over our puny and mighty little ways of getting things done? And God will bless us. Scripture talks about if you will give, he talks about how he blesses us for giving. He talks about how it's shaken together and running over. I mean, just how that he takes what little we do and how he multiplies it. Someone was saying about, I'm not one of them New Testament tithers. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to get in this. Just if you don't believe in tithing, there's no way that I'm going to persuade you that 10% belongs to God. God's going to have to tell you this. But I thought to myself, my whole life has been simple about learning that one simple blessing. And that one simple blessing didn't start with me. It started before me. How others would talk about how God blessed that just little minor effort. I told you the story how that my daddy died and his tithes was in his front pocket of his shirt. You know what happened on that Sunday? Even my daddy was dead, but you know what they done with that money? They didn't all keep that money and say, that was in his pocket. No, that money went in church because that money didn't belong to him. It belonged to God. Don't you think I learned a lesson? I learned a lesson to focus sometimes just on me. To know if I'm going to be a blessing to somebody, I've got to learn some things myself. It's not about the dollar amount that you give. It's what you do with this right here that makes a difference. And when you're in subjection to the will of God, when you submit yourself to the will of God, it don't matter what other people think of you. It don't matter how many times they criticize you. Because if you're doing it for the right reason, it really don't matter what anybody else says. I'm glad to know that to deny myself, if God wants me to deny myself, then that's what I need to do and pick up my cross daily. Daily. Around our house, garbage truck runs a certain day of the week. And if you don't have the garbage out there at the road, them trucks will just go right on by. They don't care. But if you ever had full garbage cans and you miss it, the next week you suffer. You won't miss the garbage truck the next week. You might during the week decide to say, I've got to make some changes. The garbage man has probably, well, over the years, he's took a whole lot of flack because what his job was. Oh, I wouldn't be a garbage man for nothing in the world. Nowadays, they got it pretty good, but it's still a smelly job. But they're the least person in the world that you would think, well, they're not important to me. They're only important if you miss them one week and they become bigger. The next week when you see that truck, you thank the good Lord that you've done your job by getting that garbage can to the road. You see, a lot of times in life, we look at ourselves and say, I'll get us next week. When the most important job for us is to be in subjection to God every single day. Every single day. Because when we die daily, we'll find ourselves putting on the coat of righteousness that God provided. Don't ever think we're worthy to walk through the doors of this church. Don't ever think it. Thank God that He grants us the privilege to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly to be able to get on our knees in front of Him and thank Him for salvation and what it means to be born again. You see what it brings when you bring yourself into subjection, when you fondle it down. Can I say one more thing? I know my righteousness is pretty bad. I know what it says that I need to take up my cross daily. But He had to add one more thing, and that was to follow me. Didn't say nothing about leading, did it? Follow. I had a tough job in the military learning how to march. My job was to follow the person in front of me. It's a tough job. That guy's job was to follow the person in front of him. It was a tough job. The only thing, there was a term in the military called about face. And that was when you was wooing this way and they'd say about face and you went the other way. I never worried about as long as I followed that guy in front because he made them right steps and I'd follow in his tracks. What worried me is whenever they went about face because I wasn't used to following that guy behind me. And I had to realize I had to depend on the one behind me just as much as I had to depend on the one in front of me. When Jesus said, follow me, I've never had to worry about following in his footsteps. He's never led me astray. Not one time have I went off path by following him. It's when I get in trouble, it's when I do an about face. When I turn the opposite direction, I'm glad to know that my sins were laid on Jesus and he put on me a robe of righteousness. I could tell you about when I go home. And I could tell you about whenever I get there. I won't be dressed in these kind of old rags. When we get there, you know, we all gonna wear the white robes. They ain't the color of what we done down here that made them white. It was because our sins have been forgiven. And friend, there is no darkness there. It's all because what Jesus paid for that I get to wear a white robe on the other side. Let's have a song of invitation. I don't know your heart. I realize we're few in number, but I'm thankful to the good Lord for an opportunity to be able to offer salvation to somebody that may not be saved. Because I don't know, but God knows. And I know where I need to put myself and where myself needs to be. And you need to do the same thing for your own self. And that's to be able to follow the direction of God. May we stand to our feet, sing a verse of a song. If God's speaking to you, you come tonight. Know him.